We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
All right, we were just talking here in the studio as we come back for the second hour. Mark Reardon, good afternoon. Old gang in here, Dave Klein, Sue Thomas, Fred, and we've had some FDA approval for a booster, right, Fred?
Yeah, it looks like the FDA just officially approved the Moderna and the J&J boosters. But it still has to get officially signed off on now by the CDC.
Yeah, mainly for high risk 65 or older, but then there was a little graphic I saw on one of the TV monitors that said soon for 40 and older. We're talking about, and I opened the show a little bit talking about the Chappelle special, and Sue's seen it, Dave's seen it, Fred, you haven't seen it yet. Amy Markscores is going to come in an hour, and we're going to talk about some of these issues that have come, you know, to the surface as a result of all this, dealing with transgender folks in particular. But we're just reminded, Dave, he talks about getting the vaccine in the special, and the J&J shot comes up, right? And he goes,
yeah.
He said,
oh, give me the one that all the homeless people are getting.
Yeah, give me the shot that all the homeless people are getting. I mean, come on, poor J&J. So we'll have a good conversation, I think, with Amy. Sue, I think I want to watch it again, like, right away. That's how good it was.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
David Ditch in the next hour from the Heritage Foundation, too. We're going to highlight some of the things. I'm going to do this because Nancy Pelosi asked me to do it. Nancy Pelosi said that the media is not doing a good enough job explaining some of the little, items that are in this $3.5 trillion now
really?
That's scaled down. Right. So we're going to highlight some of the nonsense, like the billions and billions for this climate control task force that we'll be able to swoop black helicopters into your backyard, apparently. I think it might not go that far. But we'll highlight some of those with David coming up and an audio cut of the day as well. I did want to address, because Rochelle Walensky, the CDC, this is infuriating to me. If you've listened any amount of time, you know that the whole mask issue sets me off, masks with kids in particular. But this is going to happen, I think, from now until the end of time. Kids are going to have to wear masks.
You know, after we have authorization from FDA and recommendations from CDC, we will be working to scale up pediatric vaccination. That said, it will take some time. And as I just noted, as we head into these winter months, we know we cannot be complacent. We also know that from previous data that schools that have had masks in place were 3.5 times less likely to have school outbreaks requiring school closure. So right now we are going to continue to recommend masks in all schools for all people in those schools. And we will look forward to scaling up pediatric vaccination during this period of time.
So basically you got to wear masks if you're in a school. We're recommending that. Now there was a little controversy this week, and I want to give some praise and accolades to St. Louis University High School, because they sent out a message on Sunday to parents saying that they're no longer going to require masks in school, just recommending them. But then the fear porn parents got all nutty and crazy about it. Now, Dave, have they retracted this yet, or have they kept the policy? The University of Missouri took away their mask policy on Friday. Okay, it's idiotic to have a mask policy right now. It really is. There's no reason for it. And if you want to argue that schools should have it, there's a couple of people that are featured in this story. This is from News 4. I guess some people have said, yeah, we're on board with this. But there was somebody that had an immunocompromised child that was very concerned. Well, that's fine. You have legitimate reason. But maybe keep your child home or make sure that that child wear a mask. It's your choice if you want to wear a mask. They're just not forcing them on everyone in the school. So I think it's time to do this. So St. Louis University High School is leading the charge. The other thing about it is, and if someone wants to challenge the notion that they're pulling down the mask mandate, ask them this question. Well, did you know there's far greater risk to these young kids in particular for the flu, not COVID, for the pediatric kids in particular, much greater risk. And so why don't we have masks? I think the answer is, I'm asking a rhetorical question here. Why don't we have masks for regular flu season? We should. We're reducing deaths. More kids have died from the regular flu. It's not even close than COVID. Now, is that dynamic going to change? It's certainly not changing right now. You have, again, this is science, a better chance of dying or getting hospitalized for COVID if you are a vaccinated adult as opposed to an unvaccinated child. But that doesn't matter to Rochelle Walensky. We're still going to force kids who are 12 and under to wear masks. It's utterly ridiculous. But this is the world that we live in right now.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, there was a story earlier this week that the latest Halloween costume was really kind of awful, and it was costumes of Brian Laundrie. So,
okay. Come on.
Hopefully that will end. And
really?
And it was just really awful. I wasn't even going to mention it, but it was so weird. And then I thought, well, we should talk about what they found today in case you're just tuning in. And they the FBI came on and said they think they have found the remains of Brian in an area that had been previously flooded. Is that correct, Mark?
Yes. Area they've been searching. We had an FBI briefing from about 45 minutes ago. They didn't give us a whole lot of information, but I think the writing is on the wall here that they have found Brian Laundrie's remains, and they'll confirm that shortly. I can't see that this story is heading in another direction. If the FBI didn't think it was him, they'd come out and say, look,
we don't know.
This isn't him, and we got to keep looking.
Fred, did they say they found something by him?
Yeah, I think they said that they found a notebook, because I heard some criminologists on some of the cable stations saying, yeah, we'd really like to see what was in that notebook. You know, did he write, you know, a confession?
Right.
But we may never know that. That may just be for the family.
And they didn't say the condition of the notebook either?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say, you're right, because if it flooded, I don't know if it would be legible at all. All right. This one is for Dave Klein.
Oh,
did
boy.
You watch the Balloon World Cup, anyone else besides the two of us? Because it was awesome.
Oh, is this where the kids are trying to keep the balloons from?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love it. Dave showed me the video. I thought it was fantastic.
Found it.
Yeah.
Where did you find it?
Just somebody tweeted it out, and it should be an Olympic sport. It really should be. And it was these two people from, I think, Peru and some other country.
Well, we've all done this with a helium balloon. You sort of, you know,
pop it.
You basically smack it, and you send it to the other person. You try to get it so it doesn't hit the ground. Well, basically, these were people competing in that
adults sport.
Adults.
Yes.
They had helmets on, and this was the first year for the Balloon World Cup, but it was so ridiculously popular, they're going to bring it back every year.
It's kind of like Squid Game, except you don't get assassinated.
How is that even remotely like Squid Game?
Well, because you're playing, it's like Squid Game. You're playing a kid's game
competitively, but
you don't get shot in the head if you let the balloon hit the ground. That's all.
That's a twist they could consider.
Right.
Yeah.
You could, now that this is moving forward.
And did you say, like, what's all involved in this, in the octagon, cube, whatever it is that they're competing in?
It takes place, two people with helmets in what looks like a living room filled with obstacles, including a VW bug.
Yeah,
you know, Fred.
Who doesn't have one of those in their living room? So basically, it's giving you some obstacles if you're. And I wasn't clear on the rules. Playing against one another, or are you playing individually?
Oh, you are playing against one another.
What I mean is could you try? Couldn't you just spike the balloon?
Allow me to tell you the rules.
Okay, here we go. I guess you can't do that,
Mark,
can you?
There are only two rules in the Balloon World Cup. One, you can't hinder your opponent's path to the balloon.
Okay.
And two, all hits must be in an upward motion.
That makes sense.
Okay.
It is illegal to spike the balloon to the ground like you're playing
That'd
volleyball.
That'd be too easy.
It's just not. Yeah.
And there's a ref in there too, right?
Yeah, and there's a ref.
Yeah.
Does spin rate and launch angle play into the strategy of the balloon competition?
Well, of course, that's up to you as an individual.
Jeff
but
Albert
I'm sure.
was helping some of these kids out, and the balloons were popping, and it was terrible. Yeah.
It's really fun to see. It had 8 million views on Twitch. What's Twitch, Dave?
I think it's just, it's really a streaming service where really popular with kids that play video games and other kids watch them play video games.
Oh, it's
I know that,
that one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was in a meeting today with Mark Cox and Annie Fry, and Annie said that, you know, she does a lot with, she does everything that we don't do, basically. She works hard on getting the social media.
That seems show
but don't
she
give said, away the secrets, Mark.
She said she's doing something on Twitch, and I didn't want to say, what's that? I've heard of it, but I really don't know what
it
is.
Well, I didn't either. I had to ask Dave. By the way, Peru won. So they were the first world champions of Balloon World Cup.
I had that guy on my fantasy team, so.
Yeah, but he might get drug tested, too.
It sounds like a sport I might be able to do.
Yeah, right. I think you might be able to, Fred. We'll have to show you the video.
Well, why couldn't we, just thinking out loud here, why couldn't we bring a couple of helium balloons and play in here on Friday afternoon after the round table?
We totally could.
I think it's
could.
A great idea.
We totally
Dave, you're
could.
In charge of balloons.
Well, there has to be a prize.
Jane would have to referee because she's got that broken wrist.
All that's right, true.
That's fair.
Well, why? So what? She hits it with her broken wrist.
Well, all right.
Then does that give her a competitive advantage,
it might.
Though?
It might.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, that we've got to reconsider.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I love to watch, and I haven't in a long time, just because I haven't found it. I used to stumble across on television, and I don't know whether it was PBS or what, but it's these contests where people in the U.S. try to grow the largest pumpkin possible.
Oh, right.
Have you ever seen these?
Mm-hmm.
And then
they
haul it across country to the actual festival and have them weighed in the whole nine yards. I don't know why. It fascinates me. They would go feed these things milk in the middle of the night and all kinds of crazy stuff to get them to get bigger and bigger. Well, a Wisconsin man grew the biggest pumpkin in the U.S. this year. It came in at 2,520 pounds.
Ooh, I'd hate to carve that thing. Yikes.
It's ridiculous.
Hey,
but
I love big pumpkins. Not that's a little bigger than usual, but I've
yes,
gone.
Yes, it is.
I used to ride my bike out in St. Charles County. I don't know if you've ever gone out there toward the airport, St. Charles, you know, airport. Mm. And there's a farmer out there that grows pumpkins. And every year in a couple of years, I would drive my car back out there after the ride and load them up. They
just had
a little bucket for the cash and everything. But there were some, I couldn't lift them on my own. Now, mind you, I'm so weak, maybe like a 50-pound pumpkin would require some help. But these were pretty 100-pound-plus pumpkins.
Really cool. Well, he was disqualified. He's not going to make it in the record books because of a tiny crack about the size of a fingernail. They disqualified him, and that's the kind of thing. That's why these people protect them when they, you know, haul these things across the country. He grew this pumpkin about 30 miles west of Fond du Lac. Unfortunately, from the awkward way it grew, it cracked, and it would have been worth, had it not cracked, $20,000.
You're disqualified
loss.
For that?
Yes.
Oh,
which
please.
I don't remember from these specials, but I guess that's the case. Schmidt says he's not going to lose sleep over it. His quote was, "It happens. There's no crying in pumpkin growing."
I was listening to, Fred, I don't know if you saw this or anyone else. I was watching, I actually think I was listening. When I say I was listening to Fox, I listened in my car. But I was listening the other morning, and they were doing a little, you know, feature thing on pumpkin carving. And they were talking to a pumpkin farmer, and they asked him for advice. One of the stories was about,
is there
a pumpkin shortage? And this guy was saying, no, I've got lots of pumpkins. So I think some of it has to do with the supply chain and everything like that. I think the farmers are growing the pumpkins. It's just maybe you can't get them. But he said this. I'd never heard this before. This is new. He said, carve the pumpkin from the bottom, not the top.
Why? Is there an advantage?
I think he explained why, but I don't know.
Huh.
But I never heard that before. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Cut out the bottom.
It's reasonable. It sounds reasonable.
What about the stump, though?
What do you mean?
The
stump
would stay. I guess it would stay.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just telling you what the guy said.
It's fair. It's fair, Mark. There was a whole movement in a video that talked about how you are supposed to peel bananas from the bottom as well.
Carl does this every morning, and he criticizes me for doing it the wrong way. It drives me crazy.
What's the deal with that?
You mean
it works.
Right way.
It really does work. I tried it this morning.
Okay, it works, but what's the point?
The point is you don't get it all mushy when you try it from the top. You know, when you dent it in and
sure,
it becomes
sure.
all disgusting.
With that, right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just saying, try it. Fisher-Price is selling a new Bluetooth version of its classic toy phone that we all had. You know, with the it looked like a car with a face on it with the bright colors. Do your kids
sure.
still have that,
oh,
Mark
yeah.
or Dave?
My kids all had some version of that. Similar.
Okay, well, they're making a Bluetooth version for adults. It's going to cost $60, but if you want to, you can get one and Bluetooth your cell phone to it and actually use the toy phone. How popular will it be? I don't know. Fred, are you lining up for a Fisher-Price phone?
No.
I hate answering my cell phone, so...
Why would you do that, right? $60. If you want one that is a non-Bluetooth version, it's $10, and you can give that to your kid.
Can I text with it?
No, Fred, thank you for asking.
We just gave Alexa one of the old, it's not even the phone, it's just like the cover from the phone that doesn't fit anymore, and that's her phone.
That's kind of cute.
She walks around the house saying, she says that's her phone. You know, like the thing that, the cover of the phone.
Yeah.
Well, if you miss the dialing, I think that's the, you know, part of the appeal of the toy. And a British CEO caused a bit of an uproar on LinkedIn when he asked if people thought he should let his employees get paternity leave when they get a new puppy. He put up a poll. 34,000 people voted. 61% of the people said no. 39% said yes. They had thousands of comments. Everything from the world has officially gone mad to new puppy owner here. I think 4 weeks of sleepless nights and cleaning up messes, I would be better off if I had some time off to deal with it. What do you think?
I could make a strong case, having trained a bunch of puppies over the course of my adult life, that paternity leave is definitely warranted, but it's ridiculously stupid at the same time.
I agree. I completely agree with that, because you really need it, but it's also ridiculous.
Yes.
Fred.
I mean,
I think... You should maybe just take a week vacation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Here's my advice, okay? If you're going to get a puppy, do it now before it gets really cold, because you don't want to be out there at 4 in the morning on your front lawn in your underwear, and I've been there before,
100%.
Where your neighbors catch you on the Ring camera when it's very, very cold.
Have they
gone out in your underwear?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's think through this.
Fred,
the dog has to pee at 2:30
really
in the morning.
Surprised?
Now, granted, that's not an early flight, you know, according to Jen Psaki. That's not
that's
the middle
true.
Of the night.
That's true.
You think I'm going to put pants on?
No.
I'm not putting... Yes, I've been out there in the middle of the night when the only people on the block are people stealing cars, apparently. And I've probably been caught on a Ring camera, and I don't really care about that. But yeah, it's brutal to do that when it's really cold.
I've done
Train the puppy in the summer. It's much easier.
It's not good. By the way, somebody, thank you to Jason on Twitter, who says, don't bring helium in the balloons. They'll just float.
Oh,
you'll never be able to.
And that's
you know
that's the host saying dumb things like that. It's
Jason,
not helium.
So thank you for that.
Thank you, Jason. Why did I say helium?
And today's random fact, I've got two. Well, I'm going to go with this. Canadian radio stations are required by law to play Canadian artists at least 35% of the time.
That's a lot of Nickelback.
It's a hello, Shania
a lot of
Twain.
Celine Dion, too, right? What percent of the time?
35, at least.
They're keeping it homegrown there.
Yes, they
Canada,
are.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Triumph. I can think of some great. Remember that one? Dave probably doesn't
oh
know
my
Triumph.
Gosh. The Final Countdown.
Leave it
oh,
on
I
the
thought
line.
It was the Insult Comic Dog.
Oh. Ooh.
Well, that's Triumph, too. This one's a little different. Canadian three-piece band from many years ago. Some good Canadian rock bands out there. That's a good random fact, Sue Thomas.
Good.
I like that.
Sounds
I like
a
that
Justin
a lot.
Trudeau rule.
And I'll close with just a little. I shared this earlier for, I think, the group. Fred, you didn't hear this, but we're talking about just things that kids do. So my daughter last night, Becky's in Vegas on some business, and I'm doing the, you know, solo parenting thing. I do that a lot. But she says at one point last night, I walk upstairs, she goes, I'm going to open a store and call it Pastries to the Yastries. And I said, I said, that's pretty impressive.
That's a good name.
Right,
I love it.
It is a good name. And I said, you better get the website for that, right? Pastriestotheyastries.com. And she goes, oh, no, I'm definitely not going to have a website. I said, why not? Do you want people to buy things? No, I want people to come into the store. She made a strong case.
There's
Pastries to the Yastries. Check that URL. Get with GoDaddy, Dave, all right? Produce on that thing. 425.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. you've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
You know, I spent 10 years, just shy of 10 years, up in Milwaukee. I love a good fish fry now and again. Worked at WTMJ, which is the Packers flagship and the Brewers flagship. And my wife is from Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. So we love fish fries. So I'm listening to Fox yesterday, and I hear my next guest, Chris Wyken, who runs a restaurant called The Packing House, which is in Milwaukee. I think it's in the south part in Milwaukee. And Chris, welcome to the show. You kind of got me into a heart attack mode yesterday. There's a cod shortage. That's not good, right?
Yeah, well, good afternoon, Mark. I appreciate you having me on. We certainly miss hearing you here in Milwaukee.
I loved Milwaukee. I don't get back as much as I'd like to. My wife does a little bit more because she's got the roots there. But shamefully, I will say this, and maybe I've just forgotten. I've been gone for about 15 years. I'm not familiar with the Packing House. But you're, what, on Layton there in South Milwaukee?
Yeah, we're on Layton on the south. Yeah, we're on Layton, just south of downtown, right across from the airport, and on the south side of Milwaukee. My mom and dad opened the restaurant back in 1974. We've been in business for 47 years, and our most popular entree, of course, is the Friday fish fry.
Now, we know, just interrupt briefly here, because we know fish fries here during, you know, Lent, it becomes a big deal, and I promote the local fish fries. They're great in the area. But this is, like, Wisconsin, this is a staple every Friday night, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a year-round tradition, and, you know, obviously the demand does go up during the Lenten season, but it is a popular entree all year long. It is an extremely important part of our menu. It's an important part of what we do. And, you know, the business that is driven by that Friday fish fry really outpaces every other entree on our menu. What we make on Friday really supports the rest of the week. For us, our fish fry is so popular, we added a fish fry drive-through back in the 80s. And, you know, we serve a few hundred out of the fish fry drive-through. We serve another few hundred inside the dining room. So we serve about 1,000 a week. That goes up to about 1,500 a week during Lent. So it's a big deal for us. And, you know, what we're seeing now is really unprecedented. We're seeing product shortages, and the product that we are able to get in is ridiculously priced. But now our fish supply, they're telling us that, you know, we're not going to be able to get that popular cod. And our diners have become used to that for 47 years. So it's not something that we can just change. You know, we've had the same recipe for that long. And so now they're telling us, well, you know, we don't think that we're going to be able to get you what you need. We might be able to get you some, but we're not going to be able to get you what you need. And if we can't deliver that product to our hungry diners, that spells a big problem for us, especially this year where we're looking to recover as an industry as a whole. And it not really only applies to the fish, but we're seeing that across the board with all of the products that we carry. We're threatened with product shortages. You know, some weeks they say, well, we can only bring you half of what you ordered this week. The products that we are getting in are much more expensive than they were just a few months ago. So this is a real problem.
Now, do they give you, Chris Wyken is here. He runs a restaurant with his family, The Packing House in Milwaukee. Are they telling you why? A lot of these supply chain issues have been a variety of reasons. You can't find truckers. Maybe if you can, they're in COVID quarantine. You can't find people to work. Are there reasons from the suppliers?
Well, for all the things that we get from the United States itself, like beef, chicken, pork, those are the issues. The trucking issues, you know, not having enough truck drivers to deliver the product to us. It's not a matter that they don't have the product. They have the product. The product, it just cannot get across the country.
Right.
Now, something like the North Atlantic cod that we use, you know, that's coming to us from Iceland, from Norway, you know, from the cold waters of the Atlantic. And what they're having problems with there is the cargo ships, getting that product across the ocean, the ports that are too busy in America to receive that product. And then, of course, then it has to get on a truck and be delivered to us. So, you know, it's a multi-layer issue when it comes to something like cod. But, you know, with our domestically produced products, it is primarily a trucking issue that they just can't get it on the truck, and they don't have enough trucks. They don't have enough drivers to get it from point A to point B.
So what are you left with options? I mean, I don't know enough about how the recipe might change. We have plenty of carp down here in Missouri. We can help you out with those. That does not sound as good for a Friday fish fry, though. Are there options with other fish, or you're going to meet some of these same challenges with other products as well, won't you?
Well, that's it. And in Wisconsin, there's really three fish. The cod is obviously the most popular, but there's also haddock and pollock. But those are also fished in the same way. And those supplies are also dwindling. So even if we were to switch to another whitefish, to another North Atlantic whitefish, the same problem would apply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like we can just switch to another fish and say, tell our customers, well, hey, this week, we know that you've been used to the cod for 47 years, but this week it's going to be haddock. Maybe next week it's going to be pollock, because it's the same problem across the board with all those whitefish. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we're going to have to deal with it somehow. We've had to pivot so many other ways in the way we do business over the last year and a half. It's just going to be one more challenge that we have to face. But this is a crucial time for the restaurant industry as a whole, not just here in Wisconsin, but across the country. So restaurants across the country, and I'm sure they're in St. Louis and Missouri as well, your restaurants there are dealing with the exact same problem that we're dealing with, and the products that they can't get in. Again, Mark, they're much more expensive. So you have to wonder how much the dining public is going to be willing to pay for a night out.
Because if you're paying more for your products, we're going to pay more when we order those dishes.
No, absolutely. And it's not only a product cost, but all of our costs have risen, from the tablecloth we put on the table to the silverware and plates that we use. And our biggest cost jump has been a labor shortage. Yeah. And when we do get folks in the building that are willing to work, we've got to pay them a lot more than what we were paying them before. So every piece of that dining puzzle has increased in price, every part of it. So we're faced with a real challenge at this point. And again, this should be the year that restaurants are able to kind of bounce back. The dining public is starting to be willing to come out to eat again.
Right.
But, you know, we don't have the staff to take care of our full dining room. So there's nights where we're restricting seating. We're not using our full tables, all of our tables, because we don't have the staff to take care of them. So we're kind of being hampered by, you know, a multitude of issues right now.
It's a combo deal. And then I'm curious, Chris, about the labor shortage and your take on that, you know, because you hear I have restaurant owners, business owners that tell me and have throughout the summer, look, some of my employees were making more sitting on the sidelines. So there's that aspect. There are people that have switched jobs or decided to do something else. There is no short-term, maybe not even a long-term solution for this labor shortage to make things better, is there?
No, and we really don't know what that solution is. I mean, we've tried everything, and you know, I'm a part of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, and I'm actually soon to be part of the National Restaurant Association Board. And we hear this from restaurants all across Wisconsin, all across the nation. We don't know what that solution is, but we've tried everything from giving hiring bonuses to longevity bonuses to just paying our existing staff more money to offering more money to the worker that might want to walk in the door. And what's really funny about this, I mean, within the last week alone, we've had four or five people walk in our door that say, hey, they want a job. They want a kitchen job. Well, we interview them. We say, yeah, you know, it sounds great. You're coming in with some experience. When can you start? Oh, I can start tomorrow. Great. And then they never show up.
What is the purpose of that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on out there. We thought when that federal kind of an extra unemployment expired in for Wisconsin, that expired on September 1st, we thought, well, all right, now we're going to start seeing some workers trickle in that want to come back to work. And we're just not seeing it. I mean, even when we're offering them $500 if they show up, or $1,000 if they, you know, complete their training and stay with us for 90 days. You know, we're starting most people at $15 to $20 an hour for the most basic jobs, like making salads. or dishwashing.
Wow.
And we just can't get people that are interested in doing that. So I don't know what the long-term solution is. I know that there's a lot of restaurant workers that have decided to leave the restaurant industry for other jobs, like the Amazons and the Walmarts of the world. But we don't know what it's going to take to bring that back. And the long-term picture really doesn't look any better. I can tell you that the staff that I have on now, you know, we're still closed 2 days a week. We were a 7 day a week, 365 day a year operation, and we're still closed Mondays and Tuesdays. We simply don't have the staff to staff those extra 2 days. Mm. The staff that we do have on, they're working all five of those days. Some of them 50, 60 hours a week. You know, they're tired. Their families are exasperated because, you know, they're not seeing them. And when they are home, they're tired. They, you know, they're so I don't know what the long term, you know, outlook is, but it doesn't look really bright right now. I mean, we're just faced with so many challenges. It's really hard to see through to the other side.
Oh, man. Well, in the meantime, Chris Wyken, the Packing House in Milwaukee. Let's say we're going to inspire some folks to come up there. The Brewers have been pretty good. We got a good rivalry between the Cardinals and the Brewers. We're going to take a trip next summer. We're going to go to the Packing House. What are we going to order? If we can get food from the trucks, is it the Beef Wellington? What's the signature dish at the Packing House?
Oh, good question.
Well, yeah, of course, it's the Friday fish fry that we serve every Friday. But, you know, we lean on a very heavy American menu. And, Mark, I'm sure you remember from being in Wisconsin, you know, the Wisconsin Supper Club is a real thing here. And the Supper Club just features, you know, traditional American entrees like steaks, seafood, poultry. We have prime rib 3 days a week. We have some great barbecue ribs that I would put up against any St. Louis rib any day.
Uh-oh. Throwing down the challenge.
So, you know, we've got a really full menu. It's, you know, about 50, 55 entrees on that menu. It's a huge menu. So we've got a taste for everybody's taste buds. And we're always happy to welcome Cardinals fans that are in town.
Well, Chris, this has been a great conversation. I'm so glad that I heard you yesterday and saw you on Fox. The Packing House is on Layton in Milwaukee. And good luck with everything. I know there's challenges, but we'll come see you sometime. And I'll close with this on a positive note. This has to make you and me and your family feel better. Go Pack, go. Right?
Hey, I'll take that. Thank you so much, Pat.
After that
really
first loss.
You taking the time.
Yeah, Aaron's doing fine because after that first. No, look, I think it's interesting. And what you just said relates to a lot of folks down here. Sure to, you know that for sure, Chris. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Well, I wish all my restaurant friends in St. Louis and Missouri in general very well, and come up and see us next time you're in town.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris Wyken. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Man, that, I mean.
Oh, Mark, you know, that's just so disheartening, isn't it?
Well, I was out to dinner with one of my friends who's a restaurant owner here in St. Louis last week, and there are these challenges right now, and I don't know what the end game is because, you know, we were talking to Jill Schlesinger last week. There's some hope that some of this stuff does settle down. But I even explained it last year in terms of, remember when we were, well, this was on KMOX, so you wasn't on this station, but when we were talking about, there were all these stories about not enough oxygen. We have an oxygen shortage because California was trying to put up. Well, there was never an oxygen shortage. We got plenty of oxygen, okay? We can't get the truck drivers to deliver the tanks, okay? We also have truck drivers that are on quarantine. They can't deliver the tanks. The other thing in California, that gets frustrating out there because the infrastructure costs so much to upgrade because of all the bureaucracy.
There was a story I saw on CBS, probably Sunday morning. That's the show I watch. But they are talking about even at the ports, they have, you know, those, they look like rail cars just stacked up all the way. They don't have dock workers enough
right.
to get the stuff we do have onto a truck and out, or even to down, you know, just to put it somewhere where it can go.
It's unbelievable.
It really
this is
amazing.
Where we are. I mean, if you go back, it'd be interesting to go back and read. There have been a couple of folks out there that have done a moderately good job. I can't remember. Derek Thompson at The Atlantic back in the beginning of 2020, sort of predicting what was going to happen because of the pandemic and some of the aftershocks. But I just don't think that a lot of this was anticipated
in
any way, shape, or form. And, you know, when it comes to the service industry, and I warn people about this, and this is difficult for someone like me because I don't have a level of patience. And I've had to force myself to have patience in customer service situations because you can just tell. These are people that don't know what they're doing, not necessarily their fault. They've taken a job. They're trying to get trained. So I went to the Walmart that I go to. Where was this? I think it was the one in High Ridge. I think it was Walmart. I have to think about this. Maybe I'm making it up. Might have been Target. No, it was Target. Okay.
Okay.
It was yesterday in Target. I want to make sure I get the right chain store correct. So I could take the things, the paper towels, the laundry detergent through the, and this is becoming more fashionable. Walmart's changing everything to just the kiosk or you do it yourself, right?
Oh, okay.
But I roll up on a lane. There's only a couple open and looks like I can get right up there. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You've never seen this movie, Zootopia. You should Google the trailer, because the trailer features this great scene where one of the characters, voiced by Jason Bateman, goes into a DMV. And the person that's working at the DMV is a sloth. And it's like the slowest process you'd ever anticipate. And this poor woman, and she was sweet. She's like my grandma. I'm not, nothing against
right.
her. But she was like that sloth. It took me like 8 minutes. I had about a dozen items. It was just one thing. I just can't have to deal with it.
Yep, that's exactly right. You got
not going to get better
yep.
soon, right? Well, you know, we've had Congresswoman Vicky Hartzell. I like Vicky quite a bit. She represents a district on the other side of the state, but she's running for the United States Senate, and she came out with her first TV ad today. Now, this has a pretty good punchline. Wait for it.
I'm Vicky Hartzell. I approve this message. I'm going to sort out the Senate race for you. I'm the lifelong conservative in this race. I've always been tough on China, which is why the communist government sanctioned me. I don't want their money, and I don't do their bidding. We've got too many Democrats and
it's coming.
Republicans who do. I follow the rules. I stay out of trouble. And when I need to see a hairdresser, I make an appointment.
Oh!
We need
ouch.
A sit-
when I- So obviously, Sue, you know what that refers to.
I certainly
do. We
do.
Need to help the audience with what that refers to or not? Maybe there's some people who aren't familiar that are newbies. Our former governor, Eric Greitens, who I know quite well, was involved in a bit of a scandal that involved his hairdresser and alleged sexual acts.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's the reference there. And he's running,
somebody
of course,
had
the
to
United States. That was pretty
I mean,
good.
You know what I mean? I mean? In their ad,
no matter what you think of the situation or no matter what you think about Greitens, I give points where points are well-deserved, and that was pretty well done.
Yes, it was.
And she gives, Dave, you saw this on the video, Vicky is... You know, I think she's pretty, she is who she is, and it's not like she's super jokey or anything like that.
No, that's
but
not her thing.
She, there's a little bit of a smirk
yes,
when she
there
says
is.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many takes. When we have her on the air, I'm going to ask her.
That is 100% what I wondered.
Right, because the smirk is actually,
yes.
It's perfect. It really is. All right, we're out of time for this hour. Should I give away the T-shirt? I can give away the T-shirt. We have Mark Reardon Show T-shirts. You can sell these on eBay. I think they're going on Craigslist eBay for maybe
$10,000
or something like that. If you're caller number 3 on the contest line, courtesy of Regal Midwest Logo Wear. They're nice T-shirts.
Dave's
got one on right now.
One.
You can cover my name up if you're embarrassed, but they're comfortable T-shirts. From concept to creation, RegalMidwest.com is where you get anything you need to promote your business or brand. Call number 3-241-9797.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.